late afternoon, gamblers.
Hey.
Hey, T-Bone. Hey, Todd.
We apologize for the late release. I mean, but when you get an incredible guest into Heartland Radio, you kind of just have to do what you do and make sure you catch that tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, Heartland Radio.
Special great guest.
2.8.
Great
2.8? No, 2.0. I'm an idiot.
No, you're doing lines right now is what you're doing.
No,
not those lines. I mean spread lines.
No, I'm an idiot. Heartland Radio 2.0, tomorrow morning, a great episode. Before we get into today's episode of Bro Bets, a podcast for degenerates by degenerates, number one episode, a number one podcast on the internet.
Without a doubt.
This episode is brought to you by Tour Junkie.
Hey!
Another great podcast. Tour Junkies are made up of two golf-loving guys out of Augusta, Georgia, who love to gamble on the PGA Tour. The Tour Junkies have a weekly show on DraftKings, SiriusXM, Fantasy Sports Radio, and tons of free articles on tourjunkies.com. We're in the middle of the PGA Tour season. Obviously, U.S. Open starts today from Pebble Beach, so if you love golf and you love gambling, then you'll love getting free weekly content and betting advice from the Tour Junkies. The Tour Junkies put out a podcast every week previewing the upcoming PGA Tour event in terms of course breakdown, key stats of playing well, who they like and don't like, and hot topics on the tour. Now, here's the stat. Listeners in 2019 alone have won over $1 million in daily fantasy, and the boys' betting highlights so far in 2019 include hitting two first-round leader bets at 100-1 each.
How about that?
Not bad.
Good for them.
Hey, not bad. And now four outright winners at 40-1 or higher after hitting Kevin Na at 55-1 at the Colonial. The Tour Junkies podcast doesn't just consist of tournament previews. The Tour Junkies have interviewed dozens of PGA Tour players, caddies, and golf personalities, like, you know, Brooks Koepka. I didn't mean to say Koepka.
You did. No, I heard it.
I know who Brooks Koepka is. I just want everyone to know that.
Very good-looking man.
Oh, and they also interviewed Darius Rucker. Heard of him? A little guy named Hootie.
Hootie.
Go to tourjunkies.com/Heartland. Enter your name and email and enter to win a brand new custom tailor-made driver. That's tourjunkies.com/Heartland. Enter your name and email and check out their podcast to hear your name called for the tailor-made driver. The Tour Junkies podcast can be found on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever else you fucking listen to podcasts.
Tell you what, if you're a big golf guy, that's your podcast.
And speaking of golf, boys, Pebble Beach this weekend, the U.S. Open. I mean, this is early.
Oh, it's off. We're off.
This is early. I don't go leaderboards usually on this show, but I will now because the always dangerous Scott Piercy at 5-under right now leading the tournament.
I don't know if you saw who's tied for second at -3. Did you happen to see?
I did. Either John Rahm or Ricky Fowler.
Nope, that's wrong. Tony's pick, Gary Woodland.
Really?
Oh.
Old Gary fucking Woodland.
Yeah, let's go.
You know what he is? The Gary Woodland minute. Or no, the Gary...
Don't.
Yeah.
If you're going to come at him, just don't.
I'm not saying. He starts out fast and then he fizzles.
Well, that happens to a lot of guys. does anyone know how we did last night? Anyone?
I know we did pretty good.
We did pretty good.
Pretty good.
Well, last night we were 5-2.
No big deal.
Not bad.
70%. The last 7 days we've been 64%. The last 30 days, 59%.
That's money.
Plus
money.
10 units.
Yeah, we're making you money.
Yeah, I mean we're back. We're officially fully back. We're dangerously close to shark territory again.
Yes.
We had to recover from the first 30 days of baseball because we were idiots and bet the first 30 days of baseball. But we weren't just going to stop this show and not do baseball.
No.
Nope.
No.
So here we were. We took our fucking lumps and bruises for baseball. We're back. We're fucking baseball experts now. Except for these two games. Minnesota -1.5. Minnesota lost 9-6 to Seattle.
My bad.
It is your bad, but you know what? That happens. You were on the right side. Verlander lost to Milwaukee 6-3 at home. So
That's not your fault.
That was my bad. My good for Jeffrey Gorman. St. Louis +160. The Stanley Cup champions... Hey, Gloria.
Play, Gloria. Let's go, boys. How about that one? We got a best bet, and they got a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
So I was obviously watching the game. First period, this was like the most hockey thing of all time, when the Bruins are just absolutely fucking dominating. But Binnington stands on his head.
Yeah.
And then literally the first shot that goes on Rask goes in, and you're like, well, I've seen this happen, this story, so many times in hockey. It was over after that.
It was 12-3 shots, I think, or 15-3 shots in the first.
And those three shots.
They led it 2 goals. Yeah.
And then after that.
After four goals,
there was just
no question.
They just really shut it down. Boston doesn't have it.
Loved it.
Thank God. Like, if I had to watch fucking Boston celebrate another championship today, I'd be miserable, but we're not. We're watching St. Louis, who, go ahead, celebrate your championship. No one cares if St. Louis wins.
No.
Go ahead.
A few of us do.
They deserve it.
Go ahead and win. Go ahead and win.
Like 51 years since they've been in St. Louis, finally winning one. That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty absolutely good. My best bet, Atlanta, first five. I took it because Soroka is incredible, but it was actually 6-5 at the end of five. So maybe got lucky there. People will say maybe got lucky, but maybe not.
Wins a win.
Todd had Toronto in the battle of the worst pitchers of all time. The final score was 8-6, so nice in Toronto's favor, so you're good there. The Lynx.
What do you mean the Lynx?
Liberty, sorry.
Oh, there you go.
You know, I was guessing there with the L, the NYL. I knew that the Lynx were a team.
They were in the WNBA, but you're talking about the Liberty that has now won two straight games after losing 17 straight, and they were getting points at home yesterday. We took them. They won outright.
Gorms took them as a dog, and they won outright. Very, very nice. And the Gorms, best bet of the day.
Love
man.
This.
He took under 12.5 because it was a big number.
It was a big. It was a fucking, I was just betting against Vegas, not the team.
It was a huge number, 12.5.
Yeah.
The score was 10-1.
Hey, that's an under in my book.
Nice little winner there. So we were 5-2 on the day. We were best bets. We all won our best bets.
Nice.
So on the week, Thursday. This sure. is our. Oh, this is
the.
Hey, this is for all the marbles.
This is the finish line. Yeah, tape.
This is for all of
Tony,
the marbles.
Tony, you got to run through the tape. Let's go.
This is for all the marbles. I'm currently 3-0-1. Todd is 4-0 in the week for best bets.
Nice, hey. Todd. And congratulations.
And Gorms is 3-1. So we all have a chance. We're all still in it. Mm-hmm. Gorm, since you are technically in last, you get to go first.
And let me preface this before we start. Like, we're doing really well right now. We're making you money in betting. But if you were to just particularly
best bets.
Only bet our best bets, you're doing very, very well.
Let me
it's my advice.
Let me do the math here. Best bets for this, just this week. 10-1-1.
So...
10-1-1.
That's pretty good. That's money winning.
The prosecution rests.
Mm-hmm. The prosecution rush.
What was it? Say again, Tony?
It was a super late night last night and an early morning this morning. So forgive me if I mess up some words and things today. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Gorms, best bet, go.
Here it goes. I'm going to the hard court, boys. We got a big one out at Oracle tonight. Okay, we got a huge. Oh, good point. Good point.
The female one or the male
one? I'm going to the male version of basketball that they play. Well, here's what we know. The last time that these two teams played,
yes,
there was one team that was better than the other one. Where? From the three-point arc.
Yeah.
Okay? Or arch, rather.
The Golden State Warriors.
Yes. So, here's a little stat on that. In the Raptors' three wins, they have outscored the Golden State Warriors 120-96 from the three-point line.
Okay.
And in Golden State's two wins, they have outscored them 99-57.
So it's whoever owns the three.
Whoever owns the threes, therefore, Splash Brothers, Draymond Green, keep it rolling, boys. I need a game 7. That'll be in Toronto. Golden State tonight is my pick, my best bet to cover 2.5 points at home.
Thank you, Jeffrey Gorman. We will talk a little bit on that game in a second. I am in second place currently. So my best bet is going to be the Mets first five money line, -140. You've got DeGrom on the mound. I'm really starting to see DeGrom come into shape a little bit.
Like this kid.
Starting to trust him, okay? And then on the mound for the St. Louis Cardinals, Jack Flaherty.
Jack!
Jackie. Hey, Jackie! 6.7 ERA. Give me fucking DeGrom. First five Mets, -140. Todd, what do you got?
I'm going to open up a window here. This is a chance for you guys to catch me because
I like what you're doing here.
A total gut pick.
A little gamesmanship.
Yeah, because I don't know if you're going to find much in the way of stats and trends to defend this.
Go
and
ahead.
Even the pitching matchup probably argues against what I'm about to say. But I'm taking Washington moneyline. They're at +110 at home versus Arizona.
Let's go, Todd.
I'm going against Zach Greinke, who is, am I saying that correctly?
Yes,
Greinke, who is really good. He's 7-2, 2.88 ERA, and he is evidently surgical against the D-backs historically. But I just feel an upset here. I don't know if you can even call it an upset. I mean, the odds aren't crazy. But this Eric Fadi, who's 1-0 with a 2.93 ERA and 30.2 innings pitched, have a good feeling about him. And Washington's at home. This is the first game of a long road trip for Arizona.
So
it's their first trip across the country to plant down and have to play a game. I feel really good about the dog here.
Todd, I like that. I like that.
Were you taking, sorry, I misheard, line, first five?
Game line, yeah.
For the Washington Nationals. Okay, plus the 110.
I love it. Going against the kid, 7-2, but Todd says, you know what? Not tonight. Tonight's not his night.
I think he's got an uphill battle here.
There you go.
Those are our best bets for today, for the week, for the wins. Gorms has Golden State. Todd has the Washington Nationals. I have the Mets first five. I'm just going to jump right in MLB right here because that game was part of one of my picks.
Okay.
I'm taking the under first five in Diamondbacks and Nationals.
I like it.
Greinke is surgical.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's just not worry about that side. And then the Arizona and Washington, they're 22nd and 25th versus right-handed pitching the last since May 1st.
Yep. You're right.
Okay. And then I don't know how to pronounce this pitcher's last name.
It's Fadi. I had to look it up.
Yeah, because I've never heard of him before.
Fadi. And it's definitely, to me, not spelled that way. I would have said Eric.
Fede,
probably. But it's Fadi.
But he's rolling in with a 2.93 ERA, so I'm thinking, you know, let's just not score some runs here.
There it is.
So I'm going under first five for that same game.
Am totally on course with that because I do. Though I think the Nationals are going to pull this off, but I think you're going to look looking at like a 3-2 game or something.
Yeah, just a nice
just some lazy bats game. From the long
lazy fucking
long
bats.
Road trip.
Gourmets, Arizona. You got a rain out today, or
boy, do we have a rain out?
I can always tell.
You say baseball experts on the show. Please do not put me in on that. Okay, and I'm being very transparent.
First being 15 games a year, you were hot on Seattle.
Very transparent here. Those two guys are the baseball experts. So, therefore, I'm going to soak in my under that hit under 12.5 last night.
Soak it in, baby.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to soak it in because it's a rain out today.
Todd, you got any other baseball?
I only have one more. Okay. Today when I looked at the games, I didn't feel really strong about them. So, take this for what it is. But I like the first five under the Cubbies versus the Dodgers.
Okay.
They're at L.A. The under for first five is 4.5 runs. John Lester's on the mound for the Cubs, 5-4, 3.59 ERA. And Clayton Kershaw, 5-1, 3 even for his ERA for the Dodgers. I think it's a pitching battle this game, at least through the first five. I think the under is a good bet here.
A few years ago, this would have been a Cy Young matchup.
Yeah.
Like it.
All right. So those are our baseball picks for today. Gorms already gave us his best bet for the NBA, Golden State. Todd, do you have any thoughts on that little WNBA NBA game tonight?
I do, man. I get jumped on this early, so I know I got it a little better than what it's at right now. I think it's plus 2.5 for Toronto. I got it at plus 4 because I took it immediately after.
Todd loves it.
After the last game. I just feel like it's in the cards, man. For Toronto, I think, you know, and Pat's been preaching this, and he is right. People shoot very well there. And I know that goes both ways. But when Toronto is hitting and the Golden State is without Durant, to me, they're going to win 7 out of 10 of those games.
I think I was going to go Toronto. And then Kevin Durant snapped his Achilles. I was like, oh. Got a win one for the old Gipper situation.
Yeah, that could be.
I like it. Could be.
Clay has notoriously been incredible in game six. Not that that means anything right now, but just something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if I'm being honest, I don't know why I'd say honestly. If I'm being honest, I'm the worst today.
Quit saying that.
I'm probably going to live bet it. I'm not going to take anything before the game. I want to see how things are shaping up. I want to see. Because like in the Toronto wins, it's been pretty easy to tell early like that Toronto's going to be okay.
I would agree with that.
So I think I'm going to live bet it, see how things go in the first quarter, and then make my pick from there.
Because you know what would be if you see like say Golden State's up by 12 or 13 going into halftime, that's when you should definitely put whatever it takes on Toronto. I mean they're going to come back. That happened last game.
Yes, I agree with that.
100%. They gave them 4.5 points for second half. I took it. They even though they lost the game, they won the second half by 5 points.
And honestly, I might even do it the other way. If Toronto's, I might take whoever's down at half.
Yeah.
To at least cover the second half spread.
It's not a bad way to play this game.
Because Golden State's been incredible in the third quarter, and just in the NBA in general, there's always a run. There's always a comeback.
Sure.
So that's what I'm going with there. So that's the NBA, and we covered the MLB. Oh, What's that sport? The WNBA.
Oh, yeah.
You got something for us?
Well, we do, boys. And I told you last time, the Indiana Fever.
Looks like you're fucked up, too.
One of my favorite teams in the WNBA.
They play every fucking day.
They sit right in our backyard.
They take their days off.
They are starting a road trip. Not a great team. They know it. The rest of the league knows it. But they've got a couple of surprising wins.
Hey, they're favored on the road.
Now, Todd, we've talked about the Dallas Wings, and we've talked about Skylar Diggins-Smith, the former Notre Dame product, who is awesome.
Love the Notre Dame ladies.
But she got married?
Skylar Diggins-Smith. She just had a baby boy in April. She is still out.
Oh.
Okay, so... with their best player
out. It's weird the pregnancy just ruins
the
season. They are
0-4 so far, 0-4. But that's not the big news. The big news, they do have a rookie. And that rookie, where's she from, Todd?
Oh, Notre Dame?
Notre Dame, the next rookie. And right now I'm drawing a blank on her name because she was the girl who hit the big shot when they won the national championship a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And they came back for
Muppet Muppet.
Yes, yeah, for Muppet Malone or whatever the head coach.
Karen something, I think. I don't know.
No, it's...
My shot, Karen!
Yeah. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. Anyway, she is hobbled right now. She is hobbled right now.
Oh, no, it's not good.
And still a game-time decision that may or may not play. So I say if she does play, good for her, but she's still not the 100%. Guys, I am taking, I can't believe I'm saying this, the Indiana Fever on the road.
Okay? -3.
-3.5 points.
Oh, boy.
Over the Dallas Wings. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Indiana Fever... you're on probation with me. I love the program. I love the everyone there in the front office. We know a few of them. But you lose this game tonight, I am off your train.
Hey, it's on them then. What are you going to do, Fever?
I love that when Gorm's like, he gives his WNBA picks, like goes into this like minute and a half, 2 minute rant. And I don't, not until 159 do I know what
I know. I love that.
Yeah.
No idea. I
throw curveballs, Tony.
He doesn't tip his hand at all.
not at all.
Okay. Arike Ogunbowale. That's her name.
Okay.
Nice job, Chris.
You remember that.
Yeah. Nice job. I was close.
All right.
Karen?
Karen's.
Hey, nice shot, Karen.
Karen?
All right. It's been enough today. Our cup of coffee a day parlay. First five, under five, Diamondbacks, Nationals, from moi.
Let's go.
First five Mets from moi.
Let's go.
Washington Nationals, full game, money line, Todd.
That's right.
Cubs, Dodgers, under first five.
You heard me.
Golden State Warriors, -2.5. Gorm's at your best bet, so we're putting it in there, even though there is some disagreement.
Yeah,
from
there
the room.
Is. There's a little.
And the Indiana Fever, -3. You've got a nice little six-teamer today, okay? Okay, so how's that sound?
I like it.
Five to win $227.
Nice.
Let's go.
Nothing to shake your stick at.
No, it's better than a sharp stick, Tony.
Also, congratulations to the dude that put $400 to win $100,000 on the Blues.
That was
good
nice.
For you, bro.
Good for you. You're living our dream. And with all that being said, our 32 teams in 32 days-ish segment of the NFL preview carries on today with the AFC South Tennessee Titans.
Boo.
Good luck.
Good luck.
We continue today our 32 teams in 32 days-ish NFL preview with the Tennessee Titans. We have Titans expert Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation reporter.
Tony.
And you can listen to him on ESPN Radio 102.5 talking with TD. What?
Tony, this guy we're talking to?
Yeah.
This guy's good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This
why do you think
good.
I reached out?
This guy
why he's
is
here.
Good. I'm fired up.
Obviously, Teron, I don't know if you saw what I did on the internet. I tweeted out, who do you want me to talk to from each team? And there was an overwhelming response for you on the Titans.
Yes,
so
sir.
We appreciate you for coming on and talking to us.
Oh, man, I appreciate you guys for having me. I guess I'm going to have to bring it now that you gave me that type of intro.
I mean, we don't want to put the pressure on you. I assume you just bring it every time. Anyways,
Hey, you get fresher under pressure. That's what I
think. Yeah. Okay. Hey, diamonds are made out of pressure, too. So in case you didn't know that.
Fresher under pressure.
So we started off every one of these with the over-under what Vegas has for the season win totals. And they have the Titans at 8. How do you feel about that number as far as wins for the season for the Titans?
I think if that's the over under, I'm putting money on the over.
Okay.
Because when you look at this team, 3 straight years, 9-7 record.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, last year what happened with them with the rookie head coach, you had the quarterback hurt so much and the ball tended to bounce the opposing way so many times, and they still figured out a way to win 9 games. Oh, and by the way, Delanie Walker, their lead pass catcher, best receiving option was gone for the year. So I think when you look at that, this is a team that I wouldn't be surprised 10, 11 wins comes out of them. And obviously the schedule is hard facing the NFC South, the AFC West. But when you look at just the whole picture with this quarterback and what they've added for him as far as to be more efficient offensively, third downs, you know, you got Mr. Third Down Converter in Adam Humphries. And then the running back, that whole situation offensively is good. And all they have to do is if they could up their points just by a little bit per game, that defense is a top three. They finished top three in scoring defense, and they're only getting better. So I definitely think over eight wins is a gimme.
Awesome. I love it. So you brought up Delanie Walker being back and being the best receiving threat. How is he progressed in his recovery? And then also, since you did say he's the best receiving threat, do you think the Titans have enough, adding Adam Humphries, adding A.J. Brown, maybe Corey Davis develops into what he's supposed to be at that draft pick?
Better.
Do you believe there's enough weapons on the outside?
I really do believe there's enough on the outside, and they're cross-training everybody. We didn't mention Jonnu Smith, so when he comes back, you'll see more 12 personnel. But I think they're finally in a situation where they could go four wide. They didn't do that last year. So now you can spread the field horizontally and attack that way, which is that's something that they worked on yesterday for the most part, a lot of bunch trips with zero splits and running rub routes and different mid to intermediate range passing games. Didn't work that well. The defense had a better day yesterday, but still just the fact that they're working on that is a good sign. And I think they have enough offensively, you know, especially on the outside. Corey Davis is a very talented receiver. He's someone that if they make an effort to get him involved, he's going to produce. Most of the inconsistency in my mind came from game plan and also from just not getting the targets. And if you look at the Patriots game last year, you know, you look at PFF and all those metrics, you know, everybody that makes their list and looks at stats and all that stuff, they will say Stephon Gilmore was one of the best cornerbacks last year. Well, Corey Davis ate his lunch on that day. So my thing, and they went to him from the jump, you know, from the third play of the game. It was a deep over route. They completed. It was like a 40-yard game. So they do a lot of things to go his way, but they don't do it often enough. So, yeah, Corey Davis, long story short, is a legit receiver, and I think he's someone that, you know, is underrated, as a matter of fact, because he's a complete guy. And like I said, when they go to him, he comes through for them.
I love Derrick Henry while we're on the offense. Love Derrick Henry. I can assume what he did at the end of the season has solidified him as the go-to guy. Will we see Pro Bowl numbers out of him?
And why does he always start so slow, by the way? Why does he always start the season so slow?
I can't really call that one. I know last year, because this last year was my first year covering the Titans. And I know last year with them, it really was just a matter of things getting in sync. But then, you know, I say it over and over again. You know, he went to see the Wizard, man. And you know what happens when the Lion went to see the Wizard and Wizard of Oz? He got some heart. And that's really what happened. He talked to Eddie George, and Eddie George basically, after the Chargers game, told him, stop running soft. You know, start running like your career depended on it. And Eddie George was right because Derrick Henry was on a trading block. A second-round pick on a trading block before he even finished his rookie deal. That created a sense of urgency for him. But then, like I said, the timing. You saw things start to fall into place just as far as the outside zone and just everything, he and the offensive line being in conjunction. But even furthermore, the play calling. Matt LaFleur, I really liked him as an OC. He was cool to talk to, but there were times he would allow the defense to dictate what they did. Now, that's not the way to go. You got a 247, 250-pound monster, and you got an offensive line that has been invested in, run that rock. You know, and Derrick Henry is the type of guy that you have to continue. You have to give him the ball. He's a true volume back. And you'll see when watching him, those 3 to 4 yard carries earlier in the game, when you get to the fourth quarter, they turn to 10 to 20. and then he may break one. And that's just the way he is. And I think when you continuously pound him against opposing defenses, it's a good thing, and that's where you'll find the success. And it goes back to just imposing your will. That's what football is. It's a game where you impose will. Best way to do that is with Derrick Henry. Just keep running the ball. Give him 20 touches a game.
Plus, that offensive line is nasty, and I'm not going there. I want to go on the defensive side, Tron, and a couple of guys. I hope we get something out of Rashawn Evans from last year and Harold Landry, but Cameron Wake, a new Titan, and my favorite, one of my favorite players in the draft, Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
Those two guys, Cameron Wake and Simmons, one's a rookie, one's a veteran. Have you seen any differences that they've made up to this point?
Well, Simmons, we probably won't see much of him. He was available to us yesterday, and we spoke to him, and he was, you know, talking the Sixers terminology, trust the process. And he's still, like, he's working his way back.
Right.
He's not sure if he's going to play this year or not, and frankly, I don't think he really should be expected to contribute this year. Mm-hmm. But Cameron Wake, he's already contributed. Just the mindset and setting the tone in the weight room, just showing these guys how to be pros. You mentioned Rashawn Evans. Rashawn, you know, looks at Cameron Wake. I asked him about Cam Wake, and he said that, man, the guy looks like he can play another 10 years. I don't believe he's 37. And if you see him, you know, this, yeah. I mean, I was looking at him yesterday, and he's in superb shape. So they're using him as a stand-up edge defender, but in sub-packages, he's dropping down, hand in the dirt. He loves that the ability to, you know, the option to be able to do that, the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to contribute, but I think really it's going to be, from a pass-rushing side of things, it's going to be Harold Landry, the Harold Landry show, man, and he's a legit pass rusher, and I think he'll be good. But it's just a work in progress.
And Kevin Byard, what he brings to that, I could go on all day. But real quick, do you think this team will spend on Marcus Mariota? I mean, what kind of season does he have to have that they say, no, we're not going back and running this quarterback for another 4 years?
I think Mariota has to have a 16-game season. I think if he could get in the 25 to 30 touchdowns and 10 interception range, I think they would invest in him. And when I say invest, I'm talking like $100+ million deal. Otherwise, I'm not so sure that they'll be investing a big, big deal. But remember, he got the same agent as Carson Wentz. And, you know, Goff's going to get his deals too. So I'm sure they'll be looking to get their other client equal money.
So I'm going to ask you a dumb question here, but it's because you tweeted yesterday that Mariota struggled a little bit during the team period. How bad would he have to struggle for Tannehill to even get a sniff?
I think he would have to play horrible football. I'm talking about them coming. Like, it would have to be like me going out there trying to play quarterback. Because it's just, you know, when you invest a number two pick and so much into a guy that you want to give him, it's just like, let's say, you know, you have a partner that's really beautiful or really handsome, right? You give them all the chances they can to get right because they're really beautiful and they're really handsome. That's what Marcus Mariota is to the Titans. So they're hoping that he can at some point show himself so they could pay him that money.
Is Deion Lewis, who I think might be one of my favorite players in the entire NFL, is he going to be the exclusive third down back, or are they going to mix him in? Like they have in the past? Do you know what the situation is as far as splitting time with Derrick Henry?
I think they're going to mix Deion Lewis in. He's going to get a lot of targets, especially in red zone. That's what they've been working on with him. So I expect to see that a lot with him.
Awesome. Thank you. Because I love the way that he runs the ball. He gets the ball on third down on his screen, and it's almost guaranteed that he gets a first down. Gordon, did you have something?
I did. The Malcolm Butler situation. Where are we at with him? Is he loved in the locker room? Do the coaches love him? Are they overpaying for him? Is he coming out and having a big year?
They love Butler in the locker room, and rightfully so. I mean, he's playing really well in OTAs and minicamp, and he's just, you know, he's the veteran in the group.
Awesome. All right, so we'll get you out of here on this. We do this with every single person. Week one, we're going to make you make a pick in June. +5.5 versus the Cinderella darling Cleveland Browns. How do you like their chances there?
+5. I think they'll go over 5.5, but I'm not huge on them, and I think they're going to get the brakes beat off of them in the season opener.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go.
That's what I like to hear. Thank you so much, Teron. As I said, catch him ESPN NFL Nation and 102.5 Talking with TD on ESPN Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was our pleasure.
Thanks, Teron.
No problem. Buddy. Thanks for having me.
Have a good day, Teron.
All right, you too. Bye.